Good morning, Radha Kala Chanji Dam. Good morning to all of the assembled devotees. And as was mentioned earlier, as Niruta mentioned, there's an effort when we come together and we accomplish anything. So anyone that participated, everyone participated in the 12-hour kirtan, my definite humble obeisances. It takes a lot sometimes to actually get up in front of anyone, but when you realize that you're getting up in front of the Lord to sing, you put all caution to the wind. You do not get hung up in any inconsistencies or any imperfections, because the Lord has no favorites and the Lord accepts you as you are. As long as your heart is pure, or out in addition to pure, or let's just say that you're sincere, and the Lord knows when you're sincere, even when no one else knows it. And I must say that the topic of the text today was actually the kirtan that took place this morning, just a couple of minutes ago. Everyone describes Krishna differently. Everyone experiences Krishna differently. And we all communicate it differently. And always my feeling is becoming more and more, as long as you're sincere, who are we to say how we represent Krishna, as long as it is with good intentions? And it's always good to see someone going outside of what everyone else does and enjoying themselves in kirtan. And I must say that it was definitely enjoyed this morning. As a matter of fact, it was the whole text itself. I could just talk about that. We have our own interpretation of who Krishna is. Everyone's is a bit different, but trust me when I tell you that they are all sincere when they're coming from the heart and they're in honor of Krishna, and we're being respectful. So I honor the devotees that come out early in the morning, because it's an effort. It is a sincere effort to come out. So I appreciate that. I appreciate anyone that comes and participates. I take it as an honor to be here and to be in the assembly, the association of the assembly of these devotees that are here. So thank you. It's always good to find a reason to say thank you too. So before we get into our honoring the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will honor Krishna by singing Radha Madhava.
See, you thank got you. Congratulated with a wonderful garland for your speech. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Kortals.
Thank you, Papa.
Our own existing.
Yes,
ma'am. I don't play the redundant, unfortunately, right now, so I will clap.
That's okay. Clapping is music to Krishna's ears. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari 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 Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giriradari Jaya Gopisha Navalaba Giriradari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Natira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanacha Jasoda Nandanan Braja Jararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe Jaya Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe Jaya Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe Jaya Jaya Jagannath 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Jagannath 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Baladev 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 Jaya Jaya 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 Subhadra 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra Jaya Jaya Subhadra 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra Jaya Jaya Gonitai 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 Jaya Jaya Gonitai Jaya Jaya Gonitai Gonitai Jaya Jaya Nitai Goro Haribo 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 Nitai Goro Haribo Nitai Goro Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premananda. I'm holding on to my voice because I intend to finish this morning. We are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 16, Text 19, and we're describing the opulences of Lord Krishna. Yes, please. Oh, what a difference. No, 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 no. And in essence, it is describing, it is Uddhava having a similar discussion with the Lord. asking him to describe his various opulences in heaven, earth, and the material planets, and even the hellish planets. And of course, Lord Krishna obliges. And going through text 16, before I read, I mean, going through chapter 16 before I read text 19, it's understood that the opulences are being described. And if you recall the chapter before, it all connects together. It really does. Because no matter how many opulences that are described here, there's a pattern that always goes through the Vedic scriptures. But before we get into that, let's read text 19. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om Gijnana Tamarandasya Gananjanam Chalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Text 19. Nagendrana Ananto Hamri Gendraha Sringi Dastrinam Damstrinam Asmanam aham turiyo vananam pratamo nagaha. Nagendranam anantoham rigendra sringi damstrinam. Asmanam aham turiyo vananam pratamo nagaha. Nagendranam anantoham rigendra sringi damstrinam. Asramanam aham turiyo Vananam pratamo nagaha. Nagendranam anantoham. Magendranam shringi damstrinam. Asramanam aham turyo. Vananam pratamo nagaha. Nagendranam anantoham. Magendran ta stringe damstrinam. Asramanam aham turiyo. Vananam pratamo nagaha. Word for word, naga indranam. Among the best of many hooded snakes.
Among the best of many hooded snakes.
Anantaha. Ananta Devi.
Aham.
I am. Mrika. Mriga Indraha, the lion, Sringi Danstranam, among animals with sharp horns and teeth, Asramanam, among the four social orders of life, Aham, I am, Turiya, the fourth, Sannyas, Varnanam, among the four occupational orders, Pratamaha, the first, the Brahmanas, Anagaha. O sinless one. A translation here is, O sinless Uddhava, among the best of snakes, I am Anantadev. And among those animals with sharp horns and teeth, I am the lion. Among the social orders, I am the fourth or the renounced order of life. And among the occupational divisions, I am the first, the brahmanas. And we'll go until we at least get a purport. So this text 20, I'll just read it, and then we'll do the word for word. Tirtanam srotasham gangaha samudraha sarasam aham ayudanam danu aham tripura gino danus mana danus matam. Word for word, tirtanam, among holy places. Srotasam, among flowing things. Gangaha, the sacred Ganges. Samudra, the ocean. Sarasam, among steady bodies of water. Aham, I am. Ayudanam, among weapons. Danuha, the bow. Aham, I am. Tripura, Ganaha, Lord Shiva. Danu Matam, among those who wield the bow. The translation here is, among sacred and flowing things, I am the holy Ganges. And among steady bodies of water, I am the ocean. Among weapons, I am the bow. And of the wielders of weapons, I am Lord Shiva. And the purport here is, Lord Shiva used his bow to completely cover with arrows the three demoniac cities built by Maya Danava. Now, I'm sure I've read this story, but I don't recall it. But the importance here, and the importance from each text that we're going through in chapter 16, is that Lord Krishna is describing to Uddhava, as he did to Arjuna, to see the greatest of the greats, or the topmost of the topmost, is being represented by him, or to see it, see these things in him. Even though Lord Krishna is not just this or just that, he is the complete representation of the entire universe. It is just solidifying the previous chapter, chapter 15. And in chapter 15, you were asked to focus your mind on the personal form of this, of that, and to see Krishna. In text 15 of chapter 15, as a matter of fact, there are a couple of texts, but there was one that stood out, and this is why it's very nice to make notes, and I do make notes, but I make them in my own book. But bear with me, because there's a description here in chapter 15, and it talks about how you are to see the Lord and how you're to see in him in everything. In text 12, it says, I exist within everything, and I'm therefore the essence of the atomic constituents of material elements. by attaching his mind to me in this form, and it's speaking specifically of the yogi, but what it is saying is that if you look at any forms, any particular form, and they're specific forms, these particular forms are mentioned in chapter 16, you see the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 10. It talks about the opulences of the Lord, and it speaks of the point in the Upanishads where it says, this is chapter 10, text 8. It says, then again the Narayana Upanishad says, Ata Purusho Have Narayana Kamayata Prajasri Jayati. Then the Supreme Personality Narayana desired to create living entities. And it goes on to say, from Narayana Brahma is born, and from Narayana the patriarchs are also born. Further, it says in the Moksha Dharma section of Mahabharata, Krishna also says, the patriarchs, Shiva, and others are created by me, though they do not know that they are created by me because they are deluded by illusory energy, as well as we, the Jiva, are also deluded by illusion. But we are fortunate enough to have the writings of the scripture to describe to us and tell us where we are. And he speaks of even Lord Shiva not even realizing that they've been created by the Lord. The Lord is so merciful that he is in the heart of each spirit soul. And all he's asking is that we see him in everything, but we also realize that the opulences that the Lord speaks of, even though they are the greatest of the greats, even in the material world, we cannot even begin to acknowledge the opulences that the Lord can attain. The Lord is not so attached to these opulences. In Bhagavad Gita, I think it's the 9th chapter, and I'm sure I'm not even going to try to memorize it for you. I'll just tell you it's Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text 26. When the Lord says, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept. And I look at, and this is my interpretation, as I was saying this morning, how we display Krishna in our hearts is an individual thing. How I see it will be totally different in some degrees of how you see or how you interpret the chapter. In chapter 16, the Lord is just asking that you see him in everything. When you can understand, and specifically from a bona fide spiritual master, it's very important that there is no one other than Krishna, that he is the only controller, that when one engages all of his energies in Krishna consciousness, one can become a learned individual. And in the scriptures, Srila Prabhupada didn't mince his words, nor did Krishna. But one is considered a complete fool when you do not know Krishna properly. And it says that only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man, which is why you have to be careful about where you get the information from about Krishna consciousness from. It should be from authorized scriptures, and the scriptures are authorized through Lord Chaitanya, through the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna. In Kali Yuga right now, there are so many cheaters that will describe to you what Krishna consciousness, what God consciousness is, what the opulences of the Lord are, and sometimes there's a lot of focus on getting the opulences. And what happens is that most of the time, people are brought to the level of just being demanders. It's like you're going up to a drive-in, a fast food place, and it's like, give me this, give me that, give me this, and give me that. And we have to come to understand that even though the Lord is our spiritual father, that everything emanates from him, that there is nothing that we need to desire, that everything comes from him. The most important thing to understand as a devotee and as a God-conscious person, as a Krishna-conscious person, is that outside of all of the opulences and wonderful things that are at our fingertips and that are available to us, the most important thing that we could possibly do to satisfy Lord Krishna is to serve one another. Everything else will come eventually. Get the basics down, chanting, reading, proper association, kirtan. Develop a foundation. Everything else will come gradually, and it's like watering the root of a tree. You don't have to worry about getting this particular house, this particular car, this particular associate or association, this wonderful wife, husband, partner, child, Lakshmi. Everything comes to you, but you must remember that we are not controllers, that the greatest thing that we could ever do is to be a servant of the servant. And that is through bhakti yoga, through devotional service. And every chance I get, I'm always trying to mention that there is so much service to do in a temple. And based on what it is, whether it's cleaning the floors, whether it's clearing out the restrooms, whether it's cooking or pujari service, the Lord appreciates them all according to the sincerity, according to your level of sincerity. It isn't that a pujari is more important than a person that washes dishes. You're doing service for the Lord, so don't get caught up in that. The other thing to remember is that Krishna is so merciful. He's taken the opportunity to present himself and to be in everyone's heart. So it would be kind of nice to think about when we're in the association of devotees, when we're passing people on the street, if you can't even connect with them, at least remember that Krishna is in the heart, even if you feel you have to dig really deep to find Krishna. He's there. And if we can just treat each other as individual retainers of Krishna, we're all connected. We're all one big family. And in the scriptures, Krishna will say there will be a point that's made one way. We'll go on to read. And then the point's made again, and then it's made in a different way. What I'm saying is what I've said before and what others have said before. Sometimes information that's very important can go right over your head if you're not listening. So we have been given the mercy of Srila Prabhupada in his translating the scriptures to have this information given to us. We have instructions on what to do in this material world, how not to get stuck in the material world, what our responsibilities are and what our duties are. And if we're fortunate enough, we even get an opportunity to understand who we were. Jai Shri Shri Radha Kala Chandi, to understand who we were in a previous life, who we are right now. And sometimes, even though we have our permanent, our spiritual identities, sometimes they're even tweaked a little bit as we travel from body to body. That's the nice part about it. You're always given an opportunity to be even better than you were before. But the point is, because you are a part of Krishna, you're a part and parcel of Krishna, we have so much positive energy, so much positive spirituality, so much potency. And if we could just use it the right way, if we could just not get so caught up in trying to control things and just accepting the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's been given to us. Now, our memories are not the greatest. They're very faulty. But if you want to know some specific information, and then the scriptures it speaks of, if a child wants to know who the father is, they'll go to the mother. Because you look at the mother as being someone that knows. You trust the mother. And she'll tell you who the father is. Until you get a grip on spirituality and Krishna consciousness. Because as you get a grip, things will come to you, and it will be solidified that, yeah, I guess this is true, because you'll have different experiences. You'll have exchanges with the Lord. And no one will have to tell you that this is Krishna, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because you will be fortunate enough to have that interaction. But until that happens, we are given a steady diet of instructions and lessons. And unless you know better, and I'm sure if you did, you probably wouldn't be in the material world, take to the scriptures and accept them. Question them, yes. Don't try to rip anyone apart if you don't understand it. Sometimes even atheism comes across, because people don't really understand their purpose and how things go in life, so they choose not to believe in anything. We've been given instructions so that there is no reason why we shouldn't believe in the Lord. Just basically from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Everything that you need to know is there. And then if you want, you can graduate to the Srimad Bhagavatam. But as I said, be careful that you're not confused or an illusion by the cheaters. I was in a yoga studio, and we were chanting with some of the students there, and I was just going through some of the books. And I came across the Bhagavad Gita, and someone actually had the nerve to write on it, the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And I thought, I've never seen this before. I know that the Bhagavad Gita is out there, but this is bona fide. The Bhagavad Gita as it is. You're given instructions on the proper literature to read. And even if you don't agree with the person that's giving you the instructions, if they're giving it to you according to what is there, then at least accept it. What is that old saying? It's when someone's giving you information and you don't really want the information, even though it's solid information. I can't remember it. But anyway, if you're being given the instructions, accept it. If you are fortunate enough to come across a sincere devotee, take full advantage of that sincere devotee. Even if the personalities clash, there is something in that particular devotee's makeup, a personality, or consciousness that is bound to help you. Otherwise, you probably would not have crossed that individual's path. As I will always say, when I have the opportunity to come and speak about the scriptures, I try to stick to the words of the scripture as much as possible. And I always try to end and say, if there were any imperfections or anything incorrect, please forgive me, but I'm doing my best. So I'm saying that even if you hear information that doesn't appear to be correct, pick up the book and pick up the scriptures and read it yourself. Don't put so much weight. Once you've been given the instructions, we actually have to move about in our spiritual lives ourselves. We can't put the complete weight on an individual. Before you pick something apart, actually read the scriptures and try to understand it to the best of your abilities. If there's a discrepancy in the understanding before you approach someone, pray to Krishna and pray that the right words come out. I have had the experience of having people call me, text me, and I've even had people present themselves on my front door in regards to the scriptures here. I never say that I'm perfect, and it could be anybody that's up here. So I'm speaking for anybody that's up here. When you're going according to the scriptures, what is being explained basically, and I don't want to oversimplify it, is that Krishna is the absolute supreme controller. And then everything is broken down. The history is broken down. You're given the opportunity to listen to how a devotee handles knowing that he's going to leave his body in 7 days. The Lord doesn't have to do that, but we have been given so many opportunities to understand who we are and where we come from that if you have an opportunity to sit in on a session of the scriptures, try to take some essence from it. Even if you don't exactly get everything that's presented in the book at that time, if you don't understand it, put it on a shelf and revisit it later. But the point here in chapter 16 is that the Lord has been asked to describe his many opulences. Why? Because he was asked by Uddhava, and Uddhava is a dear friend. He was also asked by Arjuna. Arjuna was a very dear friend. Why? It is for our benefit. It is as though Krishna is saying to us, I am whatever you can think of in this material world, in any of the planets, in any of the three worlds, they exist because of me. Everything emanates from me. And that's a lot to take in. So we have to be patient sometimes. We have to take our time understanding it, even if it means reading it over and over again. Yes, I do see the Lord has many, many opulences. The point is, it's almost as if we are being pampered by the scriptures. And if you don't take anything else from what's being said today, please understand, or please try to understand, that we are not controllers. in this material world. Krishna is the supreme controller. He tells you in so many different ways. He tells you what he has, what he owns. They're all his. So there's no need to get hung up in any of the things that we have. If we can just not necessarily disregard those things, but dovetail the things that we've been given, all of the opulences that we've been given, dovetail them in Krishna's service. In all the things that are, all the lessons and instructions in the scriptures will eventually come to you, because you will come to the understanding of who the Lord is, why you're here. The most wonderful service you could ever do is devotional service. There are many different yogas. Bhakti yoga is the highest. Regardless of who the information is coming from, as long as they're sticking to the scripture, please try to take and understand some of it. Now, there is so much literature to read from the scriptures that some of us may go through our entire lifetime and not read all of them. I will tell you right now, I've read the basics. I've read the basics, and they've gotten me this far. In the past 20 years, I don't know everything, but I think I have a pretty good foundation. I do understand that Krishna is the supreme controller. I have to keep remembering to move my to remove myself from the equation of thinking that I control this and I control that. But when we can come to the understanding that everything that is happening for a reason. If we've not created the reason, it's because of a lesson that we need to learn. It may be some energy that some thing that is following us from previous life, but to accept it and to move on. If we don't understand it, pray to Krishna. He answers everything. He has never not taken care of his devotee. We don't even understand how much he loves us. I mean, we were looking at Krishna yesterday and how he was so nicely decorated. That didn't have to be done. That's for our benefit. To see all of the many limitless opulences of the Lord. He's so beautiful. But then what he has to give us is even more than we could possibly imagine. It's unlimited. And as I said, he doesn't care about all those things. What he cares about is his child, his you, me, all of us, that we could come together as a family and understand that this is a hellish planet, that we have no business here. But because we thought we were the Lord and we wanted to experience and enjoy like him, okay, so like a parent does, you give a child what he needs to experience things so he can grow. So Krishna has put us here so that we can grow. If you waste this opportunity, it would be foolish. It would be very foolish. So my request to anyone that is listening is that when you have an opportunity to hear from a devotee, whether they're out distributing books, whether it's during Harinam, whether you're reading something on the internet from the scriptures, or whether you're listening through the airwaves, take full advantage of it, because we never know when we'll get an opportunity to hear it again. Regardless of our ages, you don't have to be a senior citizen to leave this world. They're coming into the world as babies and they're leaving as babies. So I'm saying this opportunity does not happen so often, that we are very fortunate and that I pray that there is something that you hear each time you sit in on a lecture, or you pick up a book, or you chant japa sincerely, or you are dancing wildly, like Naratam and the others this morning, in your own total world, and you're experiencing Krishna. That's how you experience it. Who am I to say, oh, that's not the way to experience Krishna? Who do I think I am? I experience Krishna in a certain way. Naratam does. Prabhu does. We all do. So we have to be very careful how we think we understand Krishna. Get the foundation. Take advantage of it when you hear it. And please, try not to repeat coming back to this material planet again. Yes, we're here. We can make the best of it. We have all the instructions not to remain. You will hear instructions over and over again in different ways. Whichever way clicks with you or whichever way is most informative to you, take advantage of it. Whether it comes from me, it's okay. It could come from someone else. The point is, you're given so many opportunities. Krishna never gives up on us. He's always giving us opportunities to hear and to understand and to have an opportunity to come back to him, which is where we actually belong. So I'm going to end at this point because I always write up what I'm going to say, but I always go off track because I try to surrender. And I never know exactly how it's going to go. And I have no pride that if something does not come out the right way, that's okay. Krishna understands. Krishna knows my heart. But the main purpose is as a devotee, we don't want anyone being miserable lifetime after lifetime. So if we can say just one word that helps one spirit soul and they can pass it along, then we have served our spiritual master in Krishna. So I'll end at this point. Does anyone have comments? Yes, Naratam Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna Miller and Tammy. Thanks again. And thanks for singing last night. Wow, that was like the most beautiful time I've ever heard that melody sung. It was amazing.
You're so merciful.
No, it's true. It's really nice. My question has to do with, you made the point that ultimately we were meant to come to the stage of serving one another. And my question is that we see, for example, most mainstream religions focus on this, like loving thy neighbors who love thyself. Mm. But it kind of breaks down and becomes very mundane. You know, like, for example, you know, I love to eat pizza and I love to watch the Dallas Cowboys, so all my friends should have a pizza and a new television. You know, when you start talking about serving one another, mm-hmm. You know, what keeps that from just becoming some kind of mundane thing? Because that's what we're seeing in most religions today, you know, over the course of time. They've kind of, you know, just focusing on serving the body. You know, you've got, something like Salvation Army, right? So they go out and they feed people, but they feed people meat, right? So, but if you talk to them, they're thinking, hey, this is the highest level of religion. I'm serving others. Mm. So can you focus a little on that for us to, like, give us more insight?
On
serving one another.
Serving one another.
In a Krishna conscious way.
Okay, in a Krishna conscious way. I have to focus also on that point where you were mentioning that people out there feeding other people, and they're feeding them things that are not necessarily good for their consciousness.
Yeah, like Mother Teresa, she's glorified as like the mm-hmm. modern-day saint, but mm-hmm. she was feeding people meat.
That's where I always like that Srila Prabhupada gave those three precious words, and I fall back on them all the time, because we all cannot be in the same place at the same time. So according to your consciousness and according to what you're ready for, it's time, place, and circumstance. Mother Teresa did a wonderful job. And yes, she did serve meals that were that originated from animal products. That sometimes you have to bait a person or bait a spirit soul to get them from one destination to the other. And I'm just going to go a little bit further on that and then go back to Krishna consciousness. But according to what path you're comfortable with, Krishna is so merciful that he gives us many different opportunities to come to him. Whether or not we start off with something that is not so healthy. Now, every single person that has walked through that door, has walked through a temple door, has not always been a vegetarian. But at some point, that's where they started. But that's not where they're ended. It depends on your level of consciousness. Now, when you have the opportunity, as I said, to be in association of a devotee, and tell me if I'm going off track, because I'll do it in a minute. But when you have the opportunity of getting the perfection of instructions, and that is God consciousness and it is Krishna consciousness, it is our responsibility to share with others the highest form of knowledge, and that is Krishna consciousness. Now, everyone that we come across is not familiar with it. Our job is to spread it, to explain it, to understand it. But everybody does not start in square one. Originally, we were all in the material world, spiritual world. We were all eating all the right things. We were thinking all the right thoughts. We were in the right association. But because we are here, there are so many different avenues that have been opened up to us by the Lord, because that's where we wanted to be at a particular time. There are those that feel that they're highly enlightened, even though they're taking the consciousness of an animal. And as you grow and become more aware, you'll understand that is not where we're really supposed to be. But you have to be careful in how you share this information with individuals. You don't beat them over the head with it, because you'll never get through to them. You do it with love. And you do it with compassion when you're sharing this highest form of knowledge. That is the only way, that is one of the main ways that you can help the spirit soul or us, the jiva, to come to this level of Krishna consciousness. Tell me what I missed, because I know I missed something there.
No, thank you. My question is kind of like, you know, serving one another can take, you know, many different shapes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, okay, you could give somebody a gift, give them some clothing, invite them over for lunch, take them to a movie, visit your mom, you know, and take her on a walk with her dog. You know, there's all these different things that come out in the course of serving one another.
True.
So my question is, like, you know, when is that, you know, just like mundane? And when is it Krishna conscious?
When is it mundane? And when is it Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, because you can be serving somebody's body in the name of service and not having anything at all to do with Krishna consciousness. The person might not even be interested in. You might not. You know what I mean? So my question is, like, okay, how do we actually serve one another in a way that is connected to Krishna?
Let me see if I can get this. when you're serving, if you're serving them in a mundane fashion, to me that means that you're giving them something that is not going to elevate them, that is not permanent. Like, it's almost similar to what was discussed yesterday. Let me see if I got it right. I think it was, Daru that was talking about, you know, the different processes that he went through, how he would go different places and enjoy. But when you find out that your consciousness is not being elevated, you're not going any further than from point A to point A, and you're not grasping who you are, who the controller is, when you're not being given the understanding of who you are, why you're here, what it takes to elevate you from like square A to square B, that doesn't even make any sense.
I can give a very clear example.
I like it, Niratam, when you come up with these questions, because they always make me think. You always pull, what is that old phrase, the nitty from the gritty. But you always get the best. How do you...
Because most of our religions are getting very mundane now.
Most of them, because they're only serving themselves. It's more like sense gratification. It's like, as I was saying, you go and you're asking the Lord to give you this and give you that, instead of being in the mode of servitude, which is the most fulfilling mode. But then it takes a person a while to understand that, to get from the understanding of the Lord is here for my benefit, and I'm supposed to get as much as possible from him. As a matter of fact, there was something in the scriptures that covered it. It's when you come to the understanding that we're here to serve others and to serve the Lord. And not so much the Lord is here to serve us and we're just here for sense gratification. I think just knowing that takes you from the mundane to a higher level of consciousness. I don't know. Does that make sense? Because that's what I'm grasping here, but I know there's a better way to put this.
Well, you're talking now about pursuing self-realization as opposed to sense gratification. Because most people in the name of their religion or spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, whatever it might be, you know, we're taking... We're taking things and we're mixing it with sense gratification. Like, I'll give an example.
Guys,
here's an example. Let's look at this. Say, for example, someone's a devotee. They're pretty serious as a devotee, right? Chanting 16 rounds and following the principles, worshiping the deities. And then, but, you know, their kids and their family and society in general and the education system is directed to them going to college.
Okay.
Okay, but in sending them to college, you see, not only are you using a huge amount of wealth, let's say $150,000, okay? So not only are you spending that huge amount of money, but you're also putting the child in an association, which is not good.
Okay.
The kids are out till 2 in the morning, they're smoking dope, they're hanging, you know, who knows what's going on out there, you know, everybody's young, everybody's passionate, everybody's, you know, this and that. So now, in the name of serving your child and putting them in college, you're actually seeing that, you know, they're becoming influenced by bad association, and you're paying for it on top of it with Krishna's money. So, you see, my question is that even though society may expect it, even though the education may expect system is set up like that, even though your family expects it, even your kids expect it, but you know that when you do this so-called service to them, they're actually going away from Krishna. They're going away from Krishna consciousness. They're becoming addicted to sense gratification. They become absorbed in mundane association. And so my question is, when you talk about serving others, okay, this, like in this example with a kid going to college, mm-hmm, you know, when is it service to Krishna and when is it just wrong? When is it just sense gratification? You know, okay, let's go downtown to MetroCare and help, you know, the local Baptist church serve, you know, 700 pounds of chicken. You know, when is it service to one another and to Krishna, and when is it just wrong?
Now we know, well, hopefully we know when it's service to Krishna. We here. Hopefully we know when it's service to Krishna and when we know it's sense gratification. But it also has a lot to do with instruction, a lot with direction, because as you're saying, as a parent, you know, maybe society has already figured that you're supposed to send the kid to school, these Ivy League schools that cost, you know, $250,000. And you as a parent know that that child is going to experience things that were not necessarily, that are not necessarily going to be for their good, for their well-being. And right now, with my thinking and hearing what you're saying, you in particular, or let's say a devotee, it is your responsibility as a teacher, and in a sense as a leader, that because you know better, that even though society has it set up that that's what you do, you still have a certain amount of pull and play in the development of that particular child. Now, you are a product, as most of us are, but I think you started very young in Krishna consciousness. So you're a product of, you know, having a very lengthy lifetime in Krishna consciousness, a little bit more than others. But what I'm saying, what I'm trying to get at is that at some point you came across someone that guided you. And no matter how misguided a person is, Lee, I'm getting back to the same thing that you just said. You know, Narottam, the best answer that I can give you, and I'm really trying to understand it as best as I can, is that it's a matter of direction and instruction. Even though society is a little twisted and demented right now, it does not mean that we have to become part of it. It's just getting out there, spreading this knowledge that helps others. I mean, as a father, you know, you're teaching, you've taught, and you're still teaching your children the right path to take. My understanding, or my response would be, it's our individual responsibilities that as we have this knowledge that we're to give it to others, even though we know that the system in Kali Yuga is set up that people are not necessarily supposed to be led back to God. It is our responsibility to become individual teachers, to lead. I don't mean to put you on spot, Prabhu, but do you have a different opinion of this?
Me?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, Patitapavana?
Patitapavana.
No, I'm just feeling...
I can see you're just smiling right through all of this.
Mother Antayami, here... Okay, so here... So, you know, you're saying we have this responsibility to teach and, you know, to try to our dependents and people in general, you know, the right direction. My question then at that point comes to, you know, at what point do At what point do we, you know, distinguish between just being socially popular and actually doing the right thing? You know, in other words, like Prabhupada, right? So his wife took the manuscript of the Bhagavad Gita. He had been working on it for years. Mm-hmm. And she took it to the market and she traded it for tea cakes, right? Right. So he came home and asked where the manuscript was, and it was gone.
Okay.
Right? And so his wife, she was drinking her tea and eating her tea cakes. Now, she was a devotee. She was worshiping Krishna. But she didn't support Prabhupada in his preaching. Like when Prabhupada would hold programs in his home, mm-hmm. she would just go sit upstairs in her room and drink tea. So Prabhupada at that point asked her, well, is it tea or is it me? And she said, I'll take the tea. So Prabhupada left their family. He left that, right. You know, he talked to his son. He said, look, now you need to take responsibility for the family. I'm going to go and serve my spiritual master. Mm-hmm. So it seems at a certain point, you know, there's like a difference between just being socially popular in Krishna consciousness and actually doing the right thing. For showing the right example for yourself, you know, and pursuing the service to your guru and showing the highest example to your dependents, even though that might make you socially unpopular.
I'm trying to get a grasp on this socially popular in Krishna consciousness.
Okay, I'll give you an example.
What do you mean, like?
You could sit up at night watching movies, say, with your family or your friends, right, up till midnight and not come to the morning program. All right, okay. So now if you want to be socially popular with your kids, with your friends, with your whoever it may be watching the movies with you, then you just stay up at night and then just sleep through the morning program. So socially popular would mean you're doing things that are not beneficial to your spiritual advancement, but you're doing it just to be more congenial, have a more congenial, material, mundane relationship with those that are around you, you see, as opposed to actually not pursuing that social popularity and actually pursuing your spiritual life, which your gurus instructed you to do. You see my point about social popularity?
I do, but I could have sworn I was close to that answer.
Hey, you guys talking about...
When I misunderstood how it came out, or maybe I misinterpreted it. But when you were doing service, and it's leading to a higher level of consciousness, and it has some permanence, and it's elevating you to God consciousness, to your true spiritual identity. That is more important to than anything that is mundane, that is only temporarily fulfilling. If it is not something that lasts permanently and it's positively building you spiritually, conscious-wise, but then you also have to understand that there is a higher consciousness than what you are familiar with. Until you understand that, then you will think that staying up all night and enjoying the movies is the most enjoyable thing because it gives you temporary satisfaction. You're looking for something that is enduring, that not only elevates you and enlivens you and enlightens you, but it is also something that leads you closer to who you really are, and that is a child of the Lord. Was that close?
That's great. So, you know, just in conclusion, what I'm gaining from talking to you about this, in conclusion, I'm saying...
Yes,
what I'm understanding here is that service to one another means when we help each other advance spiritually. Unless that element is present in our interaction with each other, then it's a disservice. It's actually an obstacle.
It is. It is. Absolutely. Very well put. I knew you had the answer in there somewhere. You just wanted me to say it.
Rasta Rajput just came back.
I'm sure that
Welcome
even though
back.
You may not have been in it, you have an idea of what's going on. Do you have a comment? Any comments?
You just came back from Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, honey, bow. I'm looking. I don't know when I've seen him look this blissful before. It's like I had to look at him again. It's like, is that Rasa Raj?
I just had a haircut.
Wow! No, it's a smile. No, it's actually the blissfulness on your face. You have a. This is when you know that a devotee is enlivened. This you cannot get from sitting and watching TV all night. This is bliss. And it's attractive. I mean, it's attractive on all devotees. This is what we're going for. This, as they were saying, you'll feel like this tomorrow and the next day. This is what it's all about. It's not what we can put in our stomachs that it satisfies us for the moment or either what we smoke or drink. It's what comes into our consciousness that shows that reveals itself in our person, in our personality, where someone else can look at you and say, there's something special about this person. You can see it. This is what it's all about. This is where we're trying to get to. Did you have any comment? Anything you want
to
add?
I'm very happy to be back, to see all of you. To hear from all of you.
Yes. Some Radhanath Maharaj, some
there
nectar.
Initiations in Chicago?
Initiations
in Chicago. There were initiations. So there was wonderful initiation ceremony.
Wonderful.
I think about 35.
Oh, 30 people that were initiated in Chicago by His Holiness Radhanath Swami.
And Kishore Mandir, yes.
Wow, and, beautiful deities.
Very beautiful deities.
Absolutely.
The only
beautiful
deities where Radharani's name is after Krishna's name.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
But yeah, it was really beautiful. Mother Malti was there also.
Jai.
Malti Prabhu. Malti Mataji.
Malati. Malti.
Shamsundar Prabhu's wife. And it was ecstatic.
Anything that you can take away from that? I mean, besides the fact that it was ecstatic, I mean, that's a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that really touches you, your heart to the core, that stays with you besides the bliss that you're feeling?
Come on, be a little more specific.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
It was a Sunday feast. They did a little bit. There's a lot. Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Kishore, have a seat, please.
It was
the depth of our spiritual growth is determined by how much we are inclined to serve the devotees.
Shy. Very nice.
And
very nice.
It is in that depth that we find real pleasure.
Yes. Very well put. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Very nice.
Perfect.
Jai. So much has been shared, so much has been given. Krishna is so merciful. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Pramananda. Hari Hari Bol. Jai Vaishnava.